Hi, I'm Bhante Sujata. Welcome to Dhamma Threads, and I'm here with Simon Powell. We're going to be discussing a verse from the Theragata, the verses of the senior monks, and you can get a copy of this on Sutta Central. The verse for this session is going to be number 1.38, Gavampati. The name Gavampati is means literally the Lord of Cows, although the word cow is it has such a generic word in the Indian context that it means more something like just a lord or a senior figure or something like that. More commonly is used is Govinda, which actually has the same meaning of Lord of Cows or Captain of Cows or something like that. But Gavampati was known, he's mentioned a few times in the Sangha. Among other things, he was known for taking his afternoon siesta in the heaven realms. And so this is actually mentioned in the Four Nikayas. So after his eating the meal and things like that, then in order to have a nice afternoon's rest, he would go up to the heaven and spend his time there. So it's easy for some, what can I say? And these verses here are also about his psychic powers and psychic abilities. So Gavampati, his psychic power made the river Sarubhu stand still. Gavampati is unbound and unperturbed. The gods bow to that great sage who has left behind all attachments and gone beyond rebirth in any state of existence. So, here, this is a one of those, I guess, like a bit of a lion's roar or something. Not entirely sure if it's said by Gavampati or about him. Perhaps more likely in this case, spoken about him. But yeah, so he is regarded here as being a great monk, a great sage who has those very powerful psychic abilities. Of course, these psychic powers are not the aim of Buddhist practice, but the aim of Buddhist practice always is freedom from suffering. But of course, psychic powers are fun, right? And they still are today. You know, you look at all of the superhero movies and all of the superpowers, and people like to imagine and fantasize about having some kind of extraordinary abilities. And so it's always been a part of the spiritual realm that people have been very fascinated by these things. So usually they're kind of used in a way to kind of draw people in or interest people and to sort of lead them on to what's of more spiritual significance, right? I mean, in a sense, making a river stand still is of, you ask, what's the spiritual significance of that? Well, zero, right? It has no difference in terms of your suffering or anything. But still, it's kind of cool that he can do that. So he is an arahant. He's left behind rebirth in any state of existence. One of the things that I did when doing this translation of the Theragata was to try to make some phrases more explicit than they have been. For example, that last line about going beyond rebirth is, the word there is bhava, which is usually translated as existence or becoming or something like that. This is what the line means, and translations often seem to miss that point. It's not entirely clear exactly what it means. If you say you've gone beyond attachment to existence or something like that, people don't really, it's hard to figure out exactly what it means. But of course, what it means is he's not going to get reborn. So this is the verse by Gavampati. So Simon, do you have any thoughts about that or reflections about that?
I suppose the reason I selected this verse was because of the reference to psychic powers.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that there was quite a few references throughout the body of text. And so I was wondering how important this was, this faculty of psychic powers for early Buddhists. And if, as you say, this is a lion's roar, or if it's a way to interest people in the community and why they should practice or what they might get out of practicing or whatever. So I was interested in what are these psychic powers? How are they developed, and why are they developed by meditators?
Well, okay, so what are the psychic powers? I mean, there are various ones. Here he's talking about what's usually known as Iddhi, which is encompasses a kind of a range of things, but especially dealing with things that affect the material world. So here he can stand still, or like walking on water and flying through the air, and all of these various kinds of things sort of come under the umbrella of Iddhi. And there's also various other ones that's mentioned, like being able to read people's minds and see past lives and so on and so forth. There's quite a range of them. Obviously there are varying degrees of evidence or plausibility for these kinds of things. Like, I think some things like, you know, recollecting past lives seems to be fairly well attested among people. Whereas ability to make a river stand still with your psychic powers, not something I've seen anybody doing recently. So again, I'm not entirely sure how literally we meaning to take this or how historical it is. But, you know, certainly in ancient India it was a big deal. And not just ancient India, but modern India, and not just India, but most countries around the world. People are fascinated by these things. Mm. Yeah? And, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, you think of that story you think of what would happen, right, if you had, let's say, you know, here we are sitting in Sydney. You know, if you had a story, monk flies through the air, right, and they saw just near the opera house a monk flying through the air, or on the other hand, a monk lets go of anger, you know, which one is going to make the headlines?
Mm.
Yeah? So monk letting go of anger is boring, yeah? And monk flying through the air is really exciting, but of course flying through the air is ultimately really meaningless from a spiritual point of view. Mm. And so what we're here to do is to let go of defilements, which is what matters.
Mm.
So, yeah, there's always this kind of slightly ambivalent relation to them. You know, it is recognized that these psychic powers are produced by a degree of purity of your mind and control of your mind and so on. But it's also recognized that they're ultimately not of any great spiritual value.
And was there any prohibition about showing off these psychic powers? How could these people have known about them?
Yeah.
He must have been displaying them in public.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a prohibition in the Vinaya against showing off psychic powers. But that was introduced at a certain point during the Buddha's teaching. So, of course, there could have been events before that. Or, alternatively, there could have been monks who just disregarded it and did it anyway. It's not a kind of major sort of Vinaya infraction or something like that. It's just a kind of minor offense if you display your psychic powers. So it's not like, you know, it's not like such a huge deal from a Vinaya point of view. But generally speaking, yes, the other possibility, of course, is that it was done, you know, only monastics would know about it. Right? So normally, the monks and nuns will only talk about it within the community.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, who knows? It's hard to sort of disguise a whole stopped river.
Mm.
Why would you want to stop the river to start with? I have no idea. Yeah? Maybe you'd think it would upset the fish or something like that. But so this one is a bit unusual. I'm not aware of that particular kind of psychic power being talked about elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very interesting, and the amount of psychic power throughout the text.
Yeah.
It was an important concern for...
I think so, yeah, and I think you can't dismiss it too lightly, you know. It was obviously of concern for whatever, rightly or wrongly, yeah.
And just the last question about how should a contemporary audience react to the presence of psychic powers throughout the text?
Yeah, well, a contemporary audience should react however they want to. But I think one thing to bear in mind, there's a very nice discussion in the Digha Nikaya, I can't remember the name of the sutta, but the Buddha points out that, essentially he points out that it's very easy to fake most of these things.
Mm.
Yeah? And this is something, again, which is very, very common in modern day India, right? So these shaman and stuff are sort of wandering around the place, faking psychic powers, and it happens all the time.
Mm.
And not just in India, but in Buddhist countries as well. You know, that people make a lot of money out of, you know, putting on light shows and things like that to sort of fake their psychic powers. And, you know, there's, you know, monks who go around with sort of giving out pictures of themselves with lights glowing out of their chests and all of these kinds of things, you know. And I mean, it's like, seriously, like, you know, 3 minutes on Photoshop, I can make something better than that. And you know, so these things are so easy to fake, and they don't really prove anything. They don't really mean anything. Mm. So we shouldn't be sort of hanging our faith off these kinds of displays.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, stopping a river is a bit harder to fake than some of the other ones. But anyway, yeah.
It's very interesting.
Okay.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, thanks, Simon. Okay, so thank you for watching, and look forward to seeing you for the next episode of Dhamma Threads.